Take your Bibles now and turn again, if you will, to Luke chapter 22. And I'm going to begin reading, beginning at verse 54, down through verse 62. Then they took him and led him, and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him, and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Our subject today, our third lesson on the eyes of Christ. Now, the eye of the human body is the most marvelous part of the entire human body. And the eye in the Scripture is very important because it's mentioned 534 times in the Word of God. Now, the eye can flash with enthusiasm, expand with devotion, melt with sympathy, stare with fright, leer with villainy, droop with sadness, pale with envy, fire with revenge, twinkle with mirth, beam with love, frown with wrath, and contract in pain. Now, those are the things, the aspects, various aspects of the eye. Now, in the Scripture, we find there is the winking eye, there's the mocking eye, there's the insatiate eye, there's a pitiless eye, there's the irreverent eye, there's a jealous eye, and there's a flamed eye of drunkenness, and there is a lustful eye, and then also, last of all, there is the criticizing eye. Now, as we've studied in the last two times, we see the variety that is found in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. We spent a few moments on the eyes of compassion, and then we spent practically the entire last half hour together on the eye of indignation. Now, today we're going to look at the eye of sympathy. And oh, how glad we are that our Lord has the eye of sympathy. Now, you say, Preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, take your Bibles and let me show you how the Lord had an eye of sympathy while he was here on this earth. In Luke chapter 7, look with me, if you will, verse 11 through 18, where we read, And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, Arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and all throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him all these things. Now, what do we have here? Here you have the eye of compassion with regard to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, the eye of compassion and the eye of sympathy, I should say, is resting upon those. For example, in our text here was a mother that had lost her only son, and she was a widow, and they were on the way to the cemetery to bury him, and we find the Lord looked upon her with compassion, and he said unto her, Weep not, and he reached down and touched that young lad and raised that man from the dead. My, what a time of rejoicing that must have been, and yet there was a great fear that fell upon the people. Now, why do I tell you this? Because you and I, living on this earth, are living in a graveyard. Now, you say, Preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, this earth is a great graveyard. People are dying all the time, and every one of us, well, one of these days, unless the Lord comes and receives us unto himself first, every one of us will travel then to the route of the graveyard. Every one day, some one of these days, you will probably hear the word that Pastor Nortier has gone home to be with the Lord, because if the Lord decides to take me home, then the physical life will leave out of this body. But I'll tell you right now, my Lord has an eye of sympathy for those who suffer the loss of a loved one. Only in the time of death does this really brought out, and can a person really understand it. And when we try to console people who have lost loved ones, we always say to them very kindly, you look to the Lord God of heaven, because he will give you the grace that no one else can. Now this is all set forth. In John chapter 11, we see the Lord's compassion with regard to Mary and Martha, who had lost their brother Lazarus. And we find when Jesus, therefore, in verse 33, when Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Here you have the eye of sympathy. Our Lord understands and sympathizes with those who have lost a loved one by the grim monster called death. You see, my Lord has eyes of sympathy. But aren't you glad also that he has eyes of sympathy with regard to our sin? Oh, you say, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Well, take your Bibles now and turn back with me to John chapter 8 for just a moment. And beginning with verse 1, we read, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking, he lifted him up himself, and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down, and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Oh, what a blessed revelation this is. Here you find the Lord having eyes of sympathy upon a poor, lost sinner. One can never get over how sympathetic and kind and understanding our Lord is. And I say to you very kindly, some of you out there are probably held down by the power and shackles of sin. Some of your sin just drags you down, and you feel like nobody cares about you. Well, my friend, I want to go on record, and I hope that the Lord will burn it into your hearts that there's someone that cares. My Lord cares, because we have a sympathizing Christ who is the Lord Jesus. And my friend, he understands your situation. Now, he's not going to condone your sin. Yet at the same time, he will not condemn you, but because he's come into the world to save sinners. And if you'll just turn from your sin and come to him as a poor, lost, helpless, good-for-nothing sinner, and beg for mercy to be bestowed upon you, and sue for the mercy of Christ to be granted you, because Christ died for sinners, and you're the sinner, I'll tell you again, my friend, my Lord will do the same thing to you that he did to this poor woman who was taken in the act of adultery. He said to her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said unto him, No man, Lord. And then these blessed words, and Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Here is the sympathetic eye of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say to you very kindly, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And oh, how this message needs to be proclaimed from one housetop to another, until all the world hears it, that our Lord loves sinners. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, lest there be somebody who sits back and says, Well, I can't forgive adultery, I want to tell you right now, you're guilty of adultery yourself. Now, you say, Preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of this earth is guilty of adultery. And don't you sit up in your self-righteous rags and try to say you are not. Because I'll tell you right now, the seventh commandment says, Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, some of you are going to sit back there in a sanctimonious attitude, you know, and you're going to say, Well, I have never committed adultery. Oh, is that right? Let me show you, if I may, what the Word of God says. In James chapter 2 and verse 10, we read, read, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Or you may never have committed the physical act of adultery, but I'll tell you right now, you've committed the spiritual act of adultery, because any time and every time something comes between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are guilty of spiritual adultery. And you may have never committed a physical act of adultery, so to speak, but I dare say you've committed it in your heart. And when you commit it in your heart, you're just as guilty as the poor woman that was taken in the very act. And yet our Lord has an eye of sympathy, and he said to her very clearly, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And aren't those blessed words? Do you remember when the day when the Lord saved you? And aren't you glad that our Lord has an eye of sympathy, not only for regard to the death of a loved one, but also with regard to the sinner, and the sinner's sin and his sinful condition. But there's another eye that the Lord Jesus has. It's the eyes of love and understanding. Again in Luke chapter 22 we find, "And the Lord Jesus turned and looked on Peter. And when he looked upon Peter, Peter remembered the word of the Lord and how he had said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And Peter went out and wept bitterly." And here we find our Lord had to restore Peter. And did he do it? Oh, yes, he did. Take your Bibles and go back with me to John chapter 22, if you will. And you'll find out that after the resurrection, the Lord Jesus singled out Peter. And in John chapter 21, I should say, not 22, because John doesn't have 22 chapters, we find Peter was set aside by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came and he said to Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he said, "Feed my lambs." And here we find Peter was restored by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what our Lord does. Now, sin breaks our fellowship between us and God. And we need to understand that. Every time we sin, we break fellowship between us and the Lord God of heaven. We're still His children, because no believer on this earth lives without sin. Every one of us sin every day. And yet we find when we sin, where our fellowship with the Lord God of heaven is broken, the Holy Spirit of God is grieved, our conscience is pricked, and we become miserable until we are restored. And then during these times, the devil tries to come along and say, "Well, do you think the Lord's going to restore you?" Well, my friend, I'm very glad to be able to tell you these words. Yes, the Lord does restore the individual. In 1 John chapter 1, and we find beginning with verse 7, these words, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." And here you have the eyes of love and understanding. Our Lord delights to see the believers restored into full fellowship with him. He loves us, and he wants to have perfect fellowship with us, and therefore he has laid it out for the method for our restoration very clearly in the Word of God, where it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, beloved, I want to say to you very kindly, our Lord delights to have you be restored unto him. So every sinning saint at this hour, I urge you, you just forget yourself, and you just swallow that old pride and that self-righteousness and throw it out the window and take your place at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and beg him to forgive you of your sin. And I'll tell you right now, my Lord will do so, because his promise is sure. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this is the eye of sympathy, love, and understanding. And then our Lord also has another eye that we need to look at. It's the eye of wrath. and judgment. Now his eye of wrath and judgment is kindled against those who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Listen to Romans chapter 1 and verses 18, where we read, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, I'm going to go on record to you and tell you very clearly, there are preachers today who know and believe and honestly accept the doctrines of grace that are set forth in the Bible, but they are afraid to preach it. You know what they're doing? They're holding down the truth in unrighteousness. And my friend, if God has led you into these great truths, you need to preach them without fear and without compromise one iota, and leave the results in the hands of the Lord. And if you don't do it, you'll hold down the truth in unrighteousness, and the eyes of God will turn from compassion and friendship into wrath and judgment and indignation. And we find that the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ will be arrayed in that category at the great white throne judgment. Oh, I urge you, every one of you at this hour, there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, rest assured of one thing. One of these days you're going to stand before Him. And when you stand before Him without the robe of righteousness that He gives to us when He saves us, the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ will flash with wrath and judgment upon you, and they are penetrating and piercing and intelligent, and no secret can be against those eyes, and my Lord will send you into a devil's hell. Oh, I urge you again, as I've done before, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you seek the Lord while He may be found, and call you upon Him while He is near, and let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn unto our God, and He will abundantly pardon. And my hope is that if you're saved, you'll walk in fellowship with Him, and if you're not saved, you'll turn to Him at this hour. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.